Well, friends, listen to me. Words matter. And do you agree with that statement? If you agree with that statement that words matter, would you just show that with a raising of a hand, that words really do matter? And not only that, not only, friends, do they matter, but words are also a privilege. And have you ever thought about that before? That to have words is a privilege? We speak thousands of words a day, thousands of words, tens of thousands probably for some. Some people speak from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, and then they talk in their sleep at the same time. For some people, if they think it, they say it. Others are a little more reserved, a little more thought-provoking over their words, but understand that your words are an absolute privilege. I mean, think of it this way. What other part of God's creation can communicate using words? How about no other part of God's creation? No other part. Other than a bird, some birds, some parakeets or canaries or whatever the kind of birds that talk. There's some birds that talk, right? But they only mimic what they hear. They can't have a conversation with you. That's distinct to God's creation and human beings. It's kind of funny that we try to create movie characters, cartoon characters of animals to make them talk. Have you noticed that? Mickey Mouse, I think, was the first talking cartoon animal, talking mouse. There was Mr. Ed, I think, was the first talking horse. And Alvin and the Chipmunks were the first rodents to have a Christmas song on the charts. And somewhere there were three guys sucking helium balloons, singing Christmas time is here, and doing that silly thing, and they made a bunch of money off of it. So believe me, sometimes I think it would be a whole lot easier if our dog could talk. I mean, she'll come and she'll sit down and she'll just stare at me when everybody else has paid no attention to her. That's when she comes to me. And she'll sit and just stare at me. And that usually means she needs something. She either needs to go out, she needs water, or she needs food. And then you add sleeping to that, and that's her whole means of existence. Until you pull out a tennis ball. And my wife likes to say that a tennis ball to our dog is like crack cocaine. She would chase a tennis ball until she croaked. She can be completely worn out, but if you throw it again, she's like, okay, I gotta go get it. And she'll go get it. That's what she does. Sometimes I look at her and I just wonder, what would she say if she could? She'd probably say, please let me go outside so I can roll in something really gross and smelly. That's probably what she would say. Friends, don't take for granted that your speaking, your talking is an absolute privilege. If you don't agree, then maybe it would help if sometime you would experience situations where that privilege is taken from you. For instance, during Nazi Germany, imagine being a family who's being sought after and you're in hiding in someone's home and the Nazis come in searching that home trying to find you and you have to keep everybody quiet. You have to put hands over the kids' mouths so they don't utter a noise so that you aren't caught. That's when you know that your talking is a real privilege. Or the privilege becomes very real when you go through something like my friend Bill Hines went through. Bill Hines was an amazing preacher and pastor. He pastored several different churches through his life and career. Every one of them grew exponentially. He was a beautiful man of God with a beautiful gift of being a truth teller in his preaching to his congregations. He was an orator of preaching. When Bill got older, he retired and he came to serve on a church where I was serving on the staff on the team. And Bill would also do preaching for us from time to time, but at one point in time, he told us that he had lost the gift, the ability to write sermons. He said, the words don't come anymore, I can't do it. He would still preach, but he would preach sermons that he'd already written through his life. He couldn't create anything new. Nobody in the church knew that but us, but that's what had begun to happen. We learned later that there was some sort of condition in his brain that was happening, and after Bill stopped serving in our church with us, he began to slowly lose his ability to speak at all. And eventually his verbal communication stopped. So now he could no longer write his thoughts or speak his thoughts. And here's the most difficult part. His words were still going on in his head. His thinking was all okay. He could think the words he wanted to say. He just couldn't communicate them in any way, shape, or form. He could nod. He could shake his head. He could squeeze your hand, but he couldn't talk. And for a man who had lived his life by speaking and by speaking about God, that must have felt like a prison to him. When your voice is taken from you is when you realize the great, great privilege that you've had. Interestingly enough, at the end of Bill's life, he was in a hospital bed, but he never, even in his state, lost his sense of humor. His son told me that in his last days when he's visiting, he walked down at the end of his bed and Bill kicked at him as he went by. And he looked at his face and he gave a slight grin. Speaking is a privilege that must not be taken for granted. We're in a season of telling in our church, of telling, of using our voices the way that God wants us to use in this world that we're in. And we're in a series that we're calling Truth Tellers. And today we're going to talk about the truth about how we talk. So let's pray and we'll get ready to do that. God, we thank you for a gift that we, if we've taken for granted, we no longer want to take for granted after today. The gift of the tongue, the gift to speak, the gift to talk. It can be used as a way to bring you glory. It can be used in horrible ways, but it's a gift that we're responsible for. And so, God, we ask today that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and minds in this place that we can hear from you how to better steward our talk so that it honors you and it brings others to Jesus. Lord, lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, listen, our talk isn't only a privilege, but it also is a great power. Words can soothe, heal, bring cheer, or words can criticize, tear down, and destroy. There's power behind our talk. Hebrews 11, verse 3 tells us, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word, by the voice, the speaking, the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So it came out of nothing. Friends, before this world was here, before the universe existed, there was nothing. And when God talked, when he spoke, it all came into existence. Can you just imagine if you could have been there, somehow seen that as that happened, if we could have watched? At first, we can only guess that it would have been all utter darkness. At least we presume utter darkness because none of us have ever experienced lack of existence before. We don't really know what that's like, but we assume darkness, don't we? And then we come to Genesis 1:1 where we see what God did first. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he spoke heaven and he spoke earth and boom, they came into existence. He spoke them into existence, but it was all dark. Did dark come with creation? Was dark part of creation? Or was that part of non-existing? I don't really know, but we know that it was dark. So would you just close your eyes with me for a moment? Go ahead and close your eyes and keep them closed for a couple moments. Do you see the darkness? Now, even in seeing the darkness with your eyes closed, you're not seeing complete darkness because the little bit of light in this room is penetrating your eyelids, so it's not completely dark. If you've ever been down in a cavern or in a cave and they turn the lights off, that gives you a better experience of what utter darkness is. But just keep your eyes closed for a few moments with me, if you will. And let's go on. In Genesis 1, verse 2, it tells us, now the earth was formless and empty. This is the earth that God just created. And it says, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I'm not sure what that looks like, but it's darkness. So there's water when God created earth and heaven, but it's all dark, okay? Then it says next in Genesis 1, 3 through 5, it tells us what God did with the darkness. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You can open your eyes. Let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning. The first day. That was a busy first day. That was a really busy first day. In that day, God creates the heavens and the earth, the land and the water, speaking it into existence. Speaking it into existence. Now that is power. That is power. Our focus today isn't going to be on God's creation, but understanding that our words also have great power. Actually, what does the Bible say of you and me? It says that we were made in the likeness and the image of God. And friends, although we may not be able to speak a universe into existence, we too have power in our talk and what we say. And what is that power? It's the power of life or death and all that we say. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that. It says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. It brings death or life and consequences with it. Your talk is always communicating one of the two, death or life. The power of your talk is that you produce decay and rot, or you produce regeneration and growth. And the truth is that all of us produce both of those at times, don't we? Both of those fruits at times. But what does the bulk of your talk produce? And what are you aspiring to? What are you trying? What are you wanting to produce with your talk? Death or life? Have you ever heard the old saying that says talk is cheap? Talk is cheap. Well, you know what that is? That's a lie. That's an ungodly belief. We've been talking about ungodly beliefs these last few weeks, how they're in our society, in our life, things we've come to believe that we take on as part of our identity that aren't really true. Talk is cheap is a lie. Why? Because the truth is, the godly belief is that talk is very expensive. It's very expensive. What you say, your talk ultimately is going to cost you something. You'll reap the cost of your tongues, good or bad. Good or bad. Your talk can bring you success or failure, can bring you strength or weakness, can bring you victory or defeat, a happy home or a miserable one, freedom or bondage, health or sickness, faith or fear, provision or hardship, courage or discouragement. Talk is not cheap. It's expensive. It always costs you. Here's another ungodly belief that our society says to us. It says that you can be powerful with your talk by using it as a scare tactic. A scare tactic. Now, what do I mean by that? It's saying that we can use our negative, our down talk, and you can actually produce a good outcome for yourself. It says that you do this or else mentality. You can get your way by manipulating others with your talk. The natural tendency of our society is to go negative in our talk, and that, friends, is called death talk. The godly belief is that we should use our talk to empower and to encourage, and that's called life talk. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at five comparisons between death talk and life talk and see where that leads us. So here's the first comparison. Death talk destroys, life talk builds up. Death talk destroys, life talk builds up. Listen to what some of the verses from Proverbs chapter 12 tell us about destroying or building up life with our talk. Proverbs 12:16 tells us, "A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." And I have to tell you that I used to be really good with comebacks. If I was insulted, I could cut you to the quick faster than you could say, "Ouch." That's called death talk. And unfortunately, it still comes out of my mouth some of the time, but I'm much, much better, have much better control of my tongue than what I used to. Some people use their talk as a weapon, and it can be pretty deadly sometimes. They respond in temper instead of staying calm. And you see, the thing is that giving insult for insult is another ungodly belief. Isn't it interesting, these phrases that we have in our head from our society? A lot of times they're ungodly beliefs. Giving insult for insult, that's an ungodly belief. You don't gain any life by shooting somebody else's death talk down with your own death talk. But if you stay calm and you speak life, even to those who insult you, you begin to make a difference in this world. Proverbs 12:19 tells us, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. Proverbs 12:22 tells us, the Lord detests lying lips, but delights in those who tell the truth. Whenever you lie, you destroy. You destroy trust, you destroy relationships, you destroy your character and your integrity, and you destroy others by leading them astray. Whenever you tell the truth, though, you build up. You build up trust, you build up relationships, you build up your character, you build up your integrity, and you build up others around you. Now, some of you have grown up in homes where lying talk was just prevalent. It was just part of life in your house. Sometimes it's almost like breathing. And because of that, your natural bend is going to be to go that way. But listen, you're responsible for your talk, not your parents. Not your home where you grew up, not your siblings, not anybody else. And right here, God's saying that lying is foolish. It's a foolish thing to do, and that you who do it are a fool. Here's another ungodly belief that's prevalent in our society. Here it is, and you've all heard this before. You've probably thought this before. Lying's only a problem if you get caught. You heard that one before? That's an ungodly belief. That's a lie. Well, the godly response to that is bullpucky. It's mule muffins. No way. Lying is always wrong, and it's always destroys instead of builds up. It's called death talk. Here's a second comparison of death talk and life talk. Number two, death talk goes rotten. Life talk stays wholesome. Stays wholesome. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Benefit those who listen. Here's another ungodly belief that you've probably heard before. The squeaky wheel gets the attention. Have you heard that before? Do you know that's an ungodly belief? Although it may be true that if you moan and you complain enough, and especially if you throw a few expletives in there, you might get the most attention. It may make things go your way, but it's the wrong kind of attention, and it's the wrong way. It's not God's way because it's ungodly. I read that the Greek word translated for unwholesome means this. It means rotten or foul. It originally referred to fruit and vegetables becoming rotten and foul. Using vulgar talk, vulgar humor, dirty jokes, foul language, it's like a bunch of old rotten, moldy fruit and vegetables coming out of your mouth and has all those little irritating fruit flies that have been around this time of year flying around your lips as you speak. That's not a pretty metaphor, right? It's not pretty at all. Well, that's what, because those kinds of words are anything but pretty. And some of us need to clean up our act because we're speaking death instead of speaking life when we use them. Listen to how Paul describes death talk in Romans chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. He's actually quoting the Psalms here, and he tells us, "Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness." Let those images float around your mind through a while when you're about to blurt out some death talk or some form of profanity. It's just trying to kill somebody else off and then to bury them in the grave of your own mouth. That's what's happening. Now let's talk about the other side of life with wholesome talk. Here, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone." Healing to the bones. That's the kind of talk that benefits those who listen to us. That's sweet and it's wholesome. It refers to others soothing their souls and nourishing their bones. If we're going to be truth tellers in this world and we want to be heard, that needs to be the mark of our talk. Paul further tells us how to talk in life in Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Paul says this, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Now, what does salt do? Well, one thing salt does is it provides some flavor to a really bad piece of meat. You ever get a piece of steak in a restaurant and it's like, oh, where's the seasoning? You douse it in some salt and all of a sudden it starts to taste a whole lot better. The other thing salt does is it preserves things from getting rotten. So our talk should bring good taste to this world. Our talk should bring good taste and it should preserve the truth at the same time. Here's the third comparison of death talk and life talk. Death talk brings cuts. Life talk brings healing. There is so much cutting talk around our society. So much. It's talk that just keeps deteriorating people to walk around with such unhealthy life situations. The talking heads of our world have no filter against cutting death talk. Proverbs 12:18 tells us, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healings." That comes from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and I really like the way that it captures what cutting words do. It's like rash words are like sword thrusts. I remember watching movies of sword fighting when I was younger, and I can still see the look on my face in some of the movies where someone thrusts the sword into somebody, their eyes get big, their bodies tense up, and as the sword is pulled out, you watch them just kind of drop and collapse. I've seen the very same response happen to people with cutting words when the words are thrust into them. And some talk is like one sword thrust after another, and people just keep getting cut and cut until they drop. But life talk is different. It's healing. It's healing talk that's like a cool breeze on a really hot day, or like an ice cold glass of water when you're really thirsty. We have the choice, friends, to cut or to heal with every word, our words, every time that we speak, to do one or the other. Here's another ungodly belief that our society embraces, and it's this one: sarcasm is good humor. That's an ungodly belief. No, it's not. Most sarcasm is nothing more than cutting words that get a laugh at the expense of someone else. That's what they are. There's a very fine line between playful sarcasm humor and simply being mean with sarcastic cutting humor, a very fine line. Proverbs 15:4 tells us, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Friends, with your gentleness, you bring healing. But with deceit, you cut people's hearts out. Which voice is it that you want to be in this world? Here's a fourth comparison. Death talk gives careless words. Life talk gives words of blessing. Often people aren't aware of just how damaging their careless words can be. Some people say whatever they want, and they let the chips fall wherever they may. Sometimes we just need to think before we talk. Just because it's in your head doesn't mean it should come out of your mouth. If we'll think before we speak, very much more likely we're going to have words that are a blessing to those around us instead of words that cause harm. Proverbs 18:7 tells us, the mouths of fools are the ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Have you ever trapped yourself with your lips? You've said something dumb. You've betrayed yourself. You've brought your mouth to ruin. We're in the midst of a political season right now, where one candidate is pitted against another, one party is pitted against another, and believe me, in this season, they're watching like hawks to catch every opponent and each murmur of a careless word. And once a careless statement comes out in a debate or an interview, the opposing party, they're going to jump on that and they're going to milk that until election day or as far as they can take it. It may be entirely out of context, but it doesn't matter. It won't stop them. Just like the verse says, the mouth of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their own lips. I've seen good men and women who are candidates who go down in flames because of careless slip up of their words. And friends, here's the truth. We have whole relationships, whole work partnerships, whole organizations. We have whole churches go up in flames because of careless words, because words that aren't thought out and that are ultimately bringing hurt to someone instead of blessing them. It happens all the time. Do you know where the idea of careless talk stems from? It stems from another ungodly belief in our society. And some of you are going to want to throw tomatoes at me when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I want you to hear me through. The ungodly belief is this. Are you ready for it? We have freedom of speech. That's actually an ungodly belief. You may be scratching your head. You're saying, what? That's my right as American. Well, just because you're an American and that's your right doesn't mean that you should always exercise it and use it. Just because you feel like saying something doesn't mean that you should. And let me remind you, as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you now have a new citizenship. You're a citizen of God's kingdom and heavenly places, not this country, not this planet. Careless talk is the work of the devil's kingdom and the devil's citizenship, not God's. Here's a verse that will be a help for you, and it's a help for me in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Oh, that's just really direct, isn't it? Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of the trouble. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen, right? The Bible is so wise. How many of you knew that such practical verses were in the Bible? You heard the phrase, sometimes the best things to say are to say nothing at all. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the Proverbs, the holy instruction book that we know as the Bible. That's where that thought comes from. Some things are stupid to say. Don't try to tell me that the Bible's out of touch and out of date. Do you know where that thought is? That the Bible's out of touch and out of date? That's another ungodly belief. And the devil's been whispering it ever since the day that the Bible was written. Friends, instead of careless talk, we want well thought out talk that's led by the Holy Spirit, that brings blessing, that represents the way that Jesus talked. Listen to these words that were said about Jesus and how he spoke. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "Everyone spoke well of him," of Jesus, "and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips." How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? These people were thinking of Jesus that he was simply of some human descent, and his words and his manner were so gracious that they were amazed. Jesus made people feel blessed simply by how he spoke to them. Don't you want that to be said of you? I want that to be said of me, not because I want any attention brought on me, as not me being something special, because I want to point them to the one who graciously has blessed me. And truth tellers in this world, as truth tellers in this world, we get to bless people with the truth told in gracious ways, not some sort of haphazard, angry tongue. Finally, the fifth comparison of death talk and life talk is this. Death talk is filled with cursing and bitterness. Life talk is filled with praise. With praise. Listen to how Paul talks about those who aren't righteous, those who aren't wise. This is what he says before this verse, who aren't seeking God, those who've turned away, who are useless. And then he comes to this in Romans 3:14, and he says to those people, he says about their talk, he says, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Of cursing and bitterness. You've been around those folks in life, right? To spend much time with someone who's always cursing and bitter is a tiring, difficult thing. It's hard to hear negativity because it's death talk. And it robs us of encouragement and life, and it makes you feel drained. Nobody wants to be around someone like that for long unless they too use that kind of talk. Later in the same book of Romans, Paul goes on to say that when someone gives their life to Jesus, their talk changes. He says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that's with your talk, that's declaring with your speech that Jesus is Lord, and now you change your talk, and it says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Friends, if you've professed Jesus with your talk, with your mouth, and believed him in your heart, then it's going to change you from bitter speaking to praise. And quite honestly, if you're always being bitter, if you're always cursing life and others, then perhaps you need to check your heart and to check your acceptance. Have you truly invited Jesus into your heart and into your life? Because listen to me, once the Holy Spirit's alive in you, any death talk that comes out of your mouth is really going to start to be distasteful. It's rotten fruit and veggies. It's like rot coming out of your mouth, and at some point you just won't choose to talk that way anymore because you're sick of the taste of it. And it changes your heart and your speech. I've noticed something really strange. Over the past 5 years or so, I've been around people that I consider to be fairly strong Christians, and in the midst of the conversation, they throw out a word or a phrase, and I'm sorry, but it has no business being in the mouth of a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I've been around pastors who, right in the midst of talking in a conversation, use an expletive word, a curse word, or tossing God's name out in vain, and I'm always just so surprised by it. And for the most part, my thought is, why? Why, you are so much more intelligent than that. You certainly have another way to talk and to express yourself and your thinking and your feeling without dipping into the world's nasty vocabulary of words. So there's this ungodly belief, another one that is taken from this, that's taken form, and it's become part of some of the believers in the church as well as the world, and it says this, sometimes you need to use a curse word in order to truly express a point. Sometimes you just got to use a word like that to get your point across. But the truth is that we have enough intelligence to find ways of communicating and emphasizing our angst without using words that are less than appropriate and less than God. James says in chapter 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Paul, he goes on to say in Romans 15, 5 through 6, to say that as believers, our voices are going to join together to become one of praise. And he says this, he says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude towards others that Christ Jesus had. So our talk comes out of our attitude. And then he says, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our voices should be coming together now to all be about praise. All be about glorifying God. Those other parts of our speech should no longer be there. We should have our mouths purified with our hearts. Those changes should be happening in us as believers in Jesus. Now, friends, after looking at these five comparisons, we now come to a choice. How will you talk? How will you talk? Will you speak death? Or will you speak life? Every time a word comes out of your mouth, you're going to do one or the other. Now let's talk a moment about where this gets really important. Your talk is like a steering wheel. James chapter 3, he talks about the power of the tongue. A lot of you heard this before. It says a small rudder can move a whole ship. A bit in the mouth of a horse can move the whole beast. A small fire can start a whole forest fire. Again, it's saying that your talk is powerful. It's like a steering wheel in a car. Whichever direction you turn that steering wheel, the whole car is going to go that way. And whichever way you steer your mouth, your whole life is going to go that way. So which way are you going to steer your life? There are two places where this is really going to matter to you and to me. First, friends, you want to speak life over yourself. Over yourself. Did you know that what you speak and consistently say about yourself has greater impact on you than what anybody else says about you or to you? What you say about yourself has a bigger impact than what any other talking head that's in your life. Everything that comes out of your mouth makes its impression and leaves its influence over your life, good or bad, positive or negative, faith or fear, health or sickness, abundance or lack, blessing or curse. Whatever you say over you has an impact on you. Too often people are overly self-critical and they badmouth themselves, saying things like, I'm so stupid. Or I can't do anything right, or I'll never lose weight, I just don't know how to ever get back in shape again, or I guess I'll never get married, I'll never find the right one, or I guess I'm just not lucky enough. First of all, I don't believe in luck. I believe in blessings, and the Bible tells us God blesses the good and the evil. Or people think, I'll never get a job, or I'll never get out of that job, or I'll never get a promotion, or I'll never have enough money. Friends, every one of those are ungodly beliefs, or they're based on ungodly beliefs, and every one of those is self-defeating thoughts that tear you down instead of build you up, that weigh down your life instead of set you free. To walk in victory and to manifest God's best in your life, you need to submit your talk and even your self-talk to the control of the Holy Spirit. To train your mouth to speak God's word over your life and not the ungodly beliefs that have invaded your mind. When you train your talk to represent God's word in your life, then God's word is going to come to pass in your life. We have a good friend, and in her young adult years, she had a period of time she really struggled with ungodly thoughts about herself, the kind of thoughts that impacted self-esteem and self-confidence. And she had the self-talk going on that destroys oneself instead of builds oneself up. Friends, she had to set to herself a period of time where every morning she would look at herself in the mirror. Instead of rehearsing the ungodly thoughts in her head, she would verbally speak out the truth of God, God's word, over herself. It took some time, but it changed her, and it changed her forever. Speak the truth over you, not those lies, not those ungodly beliefs, not that negative stuff that's stirred in your head forever. Find what God's word says about you. Say what's true about you. That's what God's saying about you. There's another ungodly belief out there that many of you have come to accept as part of your identity, and it's this: I'm my own worst enemy. How many times have you heard that one? How many times have you said that one? I'm my own worst enemy. Listen to me. Don't you dare say those words over yourself. Don't you say them any longer. You change your self-talk right now. And you say, I'm my own greatest cheerleader. Next to Jesus, there is no other. I'm the greatest cheerleader over me that there can possibly be. The Bible teaches us that you can change your circumstances by changing your words. Now's the time to believe God's best in all areas of your life. Consistently speak life over yourself. Don't speak death over yourself. The second really important place for us to speak life is over others. So many times we're just not thinking. We're not thinking and we spout off at others and phrases. I do the very thing in my own house. I'm not thinking and I say something I shouldn't say over somebody else that I love. We'll say things like, you idiot. Or you're so dumb, or you'll never amount to anything, or you're just wasting your life, or you can't get anything right, or you should really lose some weight, or you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother. Whether your father or mother brings up a good or a bad connotation, you know what? You're not just like them. You know who you're just like? You're just like you. That's who you're like. You're not like anybody else. Don't believe any other thing that anybody else says. You're just like you. Now let me ask you, is that life talk, those phrases, or is it death talk? It's death talk, friends, and it's others defeating talk. And when we say those kinds of things, whether we say them over others or we say them over ourselves, we're speaking words of defeat and failure over us, squashing ourselves down. And when people hear that stuff long enough, you know what? They come to believe it. They come to believe it. One time many years ago when I was with one of my brothers, I can't remember exactly how old he was. He was like in high school or just out of high school, young adult, something like that. And he made a comment to me, something about having a big nose. He said something like, well, I kind of have a big nose. Now, friends, first of all, you need to understand my brother does not have a big nose. He has a normal size nose that appropriately fits his appropriate size face, okay? But when my brother said that, it made me stop and I said, you don't have a big nose. I said, what makes you think that you have a big nose? And his answer kind of sobered me for a moment. He said, because you told me that I do. I said, what? I said, I'm sorry if I ever teased you when you were younger and said you had a big nose. I'm really sorry because I was only teasing. You don't have a big nose, and I've never thought that you have a big nose. My brother had come through some of his childhood and his young adult life, believing that he had a nose that was bigger than it should be on his face because of some talking head that was me, because I told him that he did. Did I say to you that our talk is powerful? Our talk is powerful. Friends, our talk is powerful. I felt terrible. I felt terrible that what I said had stirred an ungodly belief into him about his own self-confidence and esteem. Our words are key to victory or defeat. What about your words? What are you saying when you speak to your spouse? What are you saying when you speak to your children, to your coworkers, to your friends? Are you speaking life to them or are you speaking death? Are you cursing or are you blessing them for their future? And in your self-talk, are you speaking your self-talk? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death over yourself? Are you cursing or are you blessing your life and your future? As we conclude, let's take all of this back to this season of telling that God has called us to be in as a church and our role as truth tellers. Each week we've shared this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the second part of verse 15, where it says, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of truth. We need to relate all of this telling the truth to the world, to a world that's been filled with all kinds of death talk. So here's the crux of it, church of the living God. As truth tellers, we need to always speak life. We need to always speak life. The world will never hear the truth from us if they're always hearing death talk from us. Others won't hear God's truth if your talk is like battering them around or tearing them down. If they see us doing that to each other. Every word that you and I say matters. Every word matters. So will you speak death or will you speak life? Let's pray together. God, I have heard so much death talk through my life that I feel sickened. And I know everybody in this room experiences the same thing. It's all through our schools. I hear things my kids tell me, and you know what? I'm so tired of people beating down, tearing down, belittling, mocking. I'm so sick of it. But God, we the church are different. We have a new breath in us. It's the breath of the living God. The church is the carrier of the truth of the living God, the pillar of truth. And that new breath in us is to speak life in us that overcomes any death talk that we hear. And we begin to overpower the death with the life of Jesus. And that life comes through Jesus' very death for us. When the world was mocking him, your son, God, when they were mocking Jesus, when they were spitting on him, when they were calling insults, and he's dying on a cross, his heart, his mind is speaking life. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God, make us a people who speak life over others and over ourselves. That we unite together, as it says in Romans, and bring one voice of praise to you as we speak life to this world around us. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us when we've messed up with our mouth. And now, God, give us clean lips, give us a clean heart, give us a clean expression of life to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, it strikes me as we're singing, and as Abe shared too, that the purity of the heart is what comes from the mouth. So if what's coming out of the mouth isn't pure, then neither is the heart. And it says, give us clean hands, give us clean hearts. Let our, what's the last part of that line? Let us not give our souls to another. Actually, when we're allowing those dirty words, those words that aren't from God to come out of our mouth, we're giving our souls to another. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Bible tells us. So when we're giving out the death talk, we're giving our souls to another with that talk. And I don't know about you, but that's not where my heart wants to be. I want my words to speak to him. Give life. Speak life.